Today on Real Radio.
It's time to pray, perhaps, that in your life, in my life, there's decisions that we have to make that lie ahead of us. Maybe you're in the midst of them right now. You need to know, God, what is your will for my life?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. We're in a series within a series by Pastor Jack called The Will of God in Your Life. Not the will of God for your life, but in your life. Now, of course, we all want to know the will of God in our lives, but what we don't always like to accept are the difficulties that the Almighty Himself puts in our pathway for our growth and development in our dependence upon Him. Think about that. Let's continue now in this series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10. It's called The Will of God in Your Life.
And I want Rob to come on up and share about the will of God in his life and how encouraging God's will can be in all of our lives if we just let Him take control. Welcome our dear brother, Rob, to you tonight.
It's one thing to get a phone call and say, would you? It's another thing to have the pastor get up there and talk about you like that. It's not even fair. But it must be God's will, huh? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. It's not the same as the bumper sticker that says no fear. No fear is a lie. Fear not is a choice. It's a choice that you and I are faced with every time God brings us to that point. Fear not is a command, and with it comes a tremendous promise. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear is the same thing as dread. So none of us are exempt. Dismayed is the same thing as to be bewildered. I'm like that most of the time. To tell you the truth, that's why they put me in the helicopter. Shoulder harness, seat belt, give him a partner with a gun. We'll keep him out of the way. There was a man most of you are familiar with. His name was Abraham. Remember him? God spoke to him. 75 years old, God says, pack up and move. I'll show you where. And Abraham believed him, and he did it. And shortly after he did it, he found himself in the midst of a famine. So he decided to wander down to Egypt and try it his own way, and he did. And he got caught lying, and he got kicked out. And he ended up right back where God wanted him, more prosperous than he was to begin with, to the point where he and his nephew Lot, their herdsmen were fighting because there wasn't enough pasture land. So he gave him the choice, and Lot took the better place. And Abraham said, that's fine. And then a group of kings came and took Lot and his family and all they had and everybody else around him. So Abraham went after him with his own soldiers and brought him back. And before he could even express it, before the words even came off his lip, just as it says in Psalm 139, God said to Abraham, fear not. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Right after that, Abraham says, how are you going to do this? I know you promised it. How are you going to do it? I don't have any heirs. The only heir I've got is my butler. What are you going to do with that? And God repeated himself, fear not. I am your great reward. And then there was Abraham's son, Isaac. Remember Isaac? He grew up in the promised land. And when the famine came, he asked about God. He said, could I move? God says, no, I want you to stay put. So he did. Because that's what you do when you believe God. When you trust him, you obey him. So he stayed. And guess what? He prospered. And guess what? He prospered so much the people around him hated him. To the point that he got chased out of town. But guess what Isaac heard? Fear not. I am with you. I will bless you. Farther down the road, there's a guy named Joshua. You remember him? Moses called him in the office one day. He says, you're the next one up. To do what? To lead Israel into the promised land. So he did that. He was there when the walls came tumbling down. You remember that? They were victorious. They went up the road to take the next town, a little place. So little it only took two letters to spell it, AI. And they got thumped. And Joshua says, loose translation, what's up? And God says, there's sin in the house. So they dealt with it. Guess what Joshua heard? Fear not, arise and go up. Then there's Gideon, he's my favorite. He was the least member of the smallest family of the weakest tribe in all of Israel, which at the time was overrun by the enemy and in extreme poverty, the entire nation. And one day Gideon gets a visitor. The visitor greets him with these words, the Lord is with you. And if I could do Jack's Jewish impersonation, Gideon's response is classic. He said, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? You ever said that before? I have. Lord, if you're with me, why this? Why now? Why again? The visitor responded, go in this might of yours, weakest, least, and save all of Israel. At that point, Gideon realized who he was talking to and fell on his face. And guess what Gideon heard? Fear not. You shall not die. So Gideon and 300 goofballs chased the entire enemy army entirely out of the country. Fear not. How about Daniel, prisoner of war? And in the midst of that, he was still a prayer warrior to the point where God gave him visions. He not only gave him visions, he gave him explanations. Until one day he got the vision and no explanation. And so he prayed and he fasted and he prayed and he fasted 21 days. And guess what he heard? Fear not. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. Fear not. Jairus, head of the synagogue, man about town, well known, and he had a daughter. She was 12, and she was dying. Jairus pushed his way through the crowd and laid at the feet of Jesus. Master, save my daughter. Jesus said, let's go. But then the group got distracted. A woman who had been bleeding for 12 years simply touched the robe of Jesus, and the whole thing stopped. And we don't read it in Scripture, but imagine Jairus, imagine yourself, your daughter's dying, and you've gone to Jesus, and he's agreed to come, and now everybody stopped. The woman is healed. You know the story. That's a whole miracle in itself. And about the time the crowd starts to move again, the servant comes up to Jairus and he says, don't trouble the master. Your daughter has died. Guess what Jairus heard? Fear not. Let's go. And when he walked in the house, what did Jesus say? She's not dead, she's asleep. And when he got to the dead girl, what did he say? Arise. And she did. Then there was a group of Jesus' closest followers. Anything he needed, they were there. And they were simply doing what he asked them to do. Get in the boat and go to the other side. All right, we're going. And where did they find themselves? They found themselves in the middle of the lake, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, exhausted, and getting absolutely nowhere very, very fast, because they were doing what the Lord had asked them. But you know what the scripture also tells us? Jesus saw their condition. And guess what? Nothing. Not the wind, not the waves, not the water, not the storm itself, not the time of day, not even the darkness could keep Jesus away from them. And guess what they heard when he showed up? Fear not. I am. Rejoice. Then there's a guy named Paul. He went on a boat ride too, didn't he? Except he went in chains with a Roman guard on his way to Caesar to appear before Caesar himself. And he found himself in a storm that was so bad they wrapped cables around the boat to hold it together. A storm that was so bad they threw the cargo, the prophet, overboard. They threw the equipment overboard. They didn't see the stars. They didn't see the sun for 2 weeks. You know how bad it was? It was so bad they couldn't eat. And guess what Paul heard? Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. It's my plan. It's my will for you. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Why was that God's will? Because God was petitioned by Paul. Please, Lord, save all these men from this storm. Then there's John, the beloved apostle. From the cross, Jesus asked him to watch, take care of Mary. He was the only apostle that was not going to be martyred, and yet he found himself exiled on a desert island. For what? Talk about bewildered. And he got a visitor, didn't he? And guess what he heard? Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Fear not is not the same as no fear. No fear is a lie. Fear not is a choice. It's a command. And it comes with promises that only God himself can keep. It's a simple command because the important things are always simple. Now we're going to talk about a guy named Rob. That's me. I wasn't on a boat. I was in a helicopter. Goofing off. There was a surveillance. They needed a volunteer, and it was Friday, and I said, this is going to be an easy way to get into the weekend. I knew the pilot. I loved to fly. I'll go. Any of you who are hikers and are familiar with Tokwitz Peak, and it's about 10,000 feet above sea level, and we tried to land up there, and it didn't work. So we hit the hill and we rolled down about 600 feet, end over end, front over back over side. And somewhere about 300 feet down the hill, I came out, or the helicopter came apart, we're not sure. And I landed at the feet of some hikers on a trail called the Devil's Slide. I was broken, literally, and bleeding to death, and crying, and dying. And then I woke up and it was Sunday morning. And I was in intensive care, and my partner was dead. And I was at the very place Abraham and Paul and John and the men in the boat and Gideon I was at that same place. Lord, I'm glad to be alive. Why didn't you take me? Did you leave me here to suffer? Because I just saw the doctor and he was laughing and saying, I'll see you in surgery tomorrow and next week and the week after that. We're going to be close friends. All of you have been to surgery. You know what it's like. It's like dying. And I just survived by God's grace. And I didn't want to go back. And I struggle with the doubt. What did I do for my partner? I never shared the Lord with him. I didn't know anything about flying at the time. I was goofing off. And he died. And then one morning, with my breakfast, guess what I heard? Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, I am your God. Be not dismayed. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will lift you up with my righteous right hand. And he did. He showed the doctor how to bolt the bones back together. He healed my spleen. I still got it. He didn't do much for my hair, but we're going to get to that in a minute. But guess what I did? I went home. And I was off work for a year, and I was on limited duty for 4 years. And in the process, I forgot the choice he had given me. I forgot the command he had given me. And I forgot the promises that came with it. And I ended up back in the same spot, the corner of bewildered and dread, not sure where to go, wondering how I got there. And my wife came out and said, something has to be done. And the verse, fear not. I went to the doctor. I said, as far as I'm concerned, I can go back to work. He signed it. I went back to work. Within a year and a half, my life's dream, I was assigned permanently to the helicopter detail for pilot's training. And there I've been for 20 years. And now last week, they took my badge with a number on it, and they gave me one that says, retired. Yeah. And in the process, God has taken me a lot of places. Simply because every time he's challenged me, he's commanded me, fear not, I've agreed to trust him. Fear not is a choice. It's not a choice you make every time you step off a plane in a foreign country where you can't speak the language and you can't drink the water. It's not a choice you make just when you step into the prison yard and you got to show your ID and get searched instead of the other way around. It's not a choice you just make once a week on Sunday morning. It's a choice God asks us to make each and every time we find ourselves at that same corner of bewilderment and dread. And he says, fear not. Do not be dismayed. So how can I make this tremendous leap? Abraham, Isaac, Joshua, Gideon, Paul, Rob? There's only one way I can make that leap. There's only one way I can be so bold, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. But guess what? The question is always, so what does this have to do with you? Because he died for you too. And guess what he has to say to you? Fear not. Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet none of them drops, not one of them, without the Father knowing it. If you profess me before men, I will profess you before the Father in heaven. Fear not. I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will raise you up, rise you up, uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's a command, and it's simple, because the important things are. And since it's a command, it's a choice each of us gets to make over and over and over again until we reach the point Job reached. Though he slay me, I will trust him. Thank you.
God's will. As believers, the greatest thing that we can do is embrace His will for our lives. It's time to pray, perhaps, that in your life, in my life, there's decisions that we have to make that lie ahead of us. That's a God thing. That's a good thing. And I want to encourage you. We need to do that thing, that will of God. And that is obeying His word. When God says to do this or to do that, we just need to say, Lord, and this is the great thing about God, even if we're not willing to do it, this is the amazing thing about Him. Lord, I know I should be doing this thing. I don't want to do it. But God, if you can hear me, make me want to do your will. Or make me want to do that thing. Now everybody can pray that prayer, and He will do that. What is it? Is it your marriage? Is it your kids? Is it a job? Is it somebody that you're wondering, no, is this the one? Don't go another step forward in that direction without giving it to God and asking Him to lead you and guide you. Christian, embrace His will. Find out what it is for your life. You will never be fully content and happy until you are right in the middle of God's will for your life. That's why you can crash a helicopter and fall 300 feet down and wind up going through all that he went through and come out at the other end still flying a helicopter. Because the Lord all along the way said, this is my will for you, Rob. Fear not. God might be saying to you tonight, this is my will for you, Karen or Betty or Bob or John, fear not. He might be saying to you tonight, rejoice. Whatever He's saying to you and whatever He's saying to me, I guarantee you, it's the opposite of what we're thinking and feeling. You ever notice that? I'm scared. God says, don't be afraid. Why did God say to Paul when they were taking him out of Jerusalem with 270 armed guards, down to Caesarea. Remember the religious zealots said that they were going to fast until Paul was dead? We will not eat until Paul's dead. So his buddies let him down. He threw the proconsul and the Jewish political leadership through circumstances, got in them, got Paul under Roman guard down to Caesarea. For a hearing. 270 policemen to watch one man. And on the way down there, God talks to Paul and says, you know what? Don't be afraid.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Will of God in Your Life. In fact, this is a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel chapters 9 and 10, and we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, the family of stations that carry Real Radio with Jack Hibbs continues to grow day by day, something we're pretty excited about. And now, Real Radio can be heard on 105.1 FM WAVA. So we'd like to welcome our new listeners in and around our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.